Say, I'm not forgotten. Say, I'm not forgotten. Say, I'm not forgotten. God has remembered me. You cannot be forsaken. But you cannot be forsaken. Because coming here is a proof of your discipleship. Being here every night to rehearse, to clean the place, is a proof of your discipleship. Your team scripture was in John 8:31, and then Jesus said that unto them that have believed, they said that ye are my disciples indeed, if ye shall abide in the word. A disciple is different than from a believer. Because Jesus is saying that after Jesus had gone through many things, he told them that he was with the Father and they did not know. Then the Bible said that after his testimony, many believed. So now Jesus turns to those who have believed in him and tells them that it's good you have believed. But then if you want to grow, then you need to abide or remain in my word. So you see that it is not every believer that is a disciple. Believing is good. But if you want to see the adventures of the Spirit, you need to become a disciple. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So there are graduations in our Christian work. And then 1 John chapter 1, verse number 1, going. He said that that which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. These are four stages in discipleship. The first time we came to Jesus, you did because you heard something. The people that believed in John 8, 30 and 31, they believed because they heard something. But the elder is telling us here that it is enough to hear, but you still need to go on. Listen, you need to move on in your walk with God. If you were hearing first, somebody preached the gospel and you heard it, now you have come to see what you heard. As you see what you heard, you need to grow again to the point where now you are looking closely at what you heard. And then you need to go to another stage where you can now handle the thing that you heard. They said they heard that there is a certain pillar in the church. So now people came to see. Now after they saw, they decided, no, we have to go closer to heaven. And when they got closer, they realized that they could handle it. The highest form of discipleship comes with experiential knowledge.
So
you begin to experience the thing. I want to prophesy to you. I prophesy to 1,000 people listening to me now, that you are not forsaken and you are not forgotten. You will not remain at the level where you are supposed to be. God will lift you higher and higher. I said, God will lift you higher and higher. You are not forsaken. As we graduate through these four levels, it gets to a point where we are not really seeing and really and experiencing the things of God. And many things may be fighting us, so people begin to think that they are forgotten. People begin to think that God has forsaken them. But I'm here with news on my mouth that the Lord has not forsaken you. The Lord has not forgotten you. In Psalm number 13, verse number 1 and 2, the Bible says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me? How How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul? Having sorrow in my heart daily. Listen, the psalmist is thinking. The man that had worked with Jesus, with the Lord, he has worked with the Lord, gets to a place in his work that because he's not able to experience the encounters that God he has to get with God, he's not thinking the Lord has forsaken him. Anybody in this meeting who has gotten to the place where they are questioning that how long will you forget me, O Lord? I have good news for you. That before these 2 nights and this convention is over, you see that your God is a God of covenants. And he never forsakes us. The Bible says in Psalm 30 verse number 5, he says, for his anger is but for a moment. And his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for night, but joy comes in the morning. I have news for somebody here who has been a very faithful disciple of God, that even though you may not see your signs and hear, you see, he says that his anger is just for a moment. I want to speak to somebody who has done something they have so regretted. He said that his favor is for life. He says that his anger is for a moment, but his favor is for life. And that even though weeping will come, it will only endure for the night. And joy shall come in the morning. Tonight I prophesy to you, anybody who has remained in the night for so long, because the Bible says weeping must end. Weeping must end for joy to come. Just like every evening will end for the morning to come today, I decree as an oracle of God that your morning is coming quickly. I say your morning is coming quickly. You cannot be forgotten. You cannot be forsaken. David said, I have been young. Psalm 37 verse 25. And now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Here again I'm reminding you, faithful disciples of this ministry, that you can never be forsaken by God. Something may not be working the way you want it now. Things may not be looking like how you expected, but you will never be forsaken by God. Because it is not in the nature of God to forget his people. You failed your BEC. Your parents died when you were in secondary school. I came here today to remind you that as you follow staunchly after the Lord Jesus Christ, there is not a day that you'll be forgotten. There is not a time that you'll be forsaken. He says, I have been young and now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken. This was the same man who said in Psalm 13 that, why have you forgotten me? But then he is speaking again here that he did not forget me. I want you to look forward to great things with God. I want you to get ready in this convention, that there is a hand that is able to remember you. And tonight, any power, anything that has resisted your remembrance, it shall give way. It shall give way. It shall give way. Say, I'm not forgotten. Say, I'm not forsaken. God knows my name. It is time to look forward to great things with God. It is time to look forward to mighty things with God. In John's Gospel, chapter number 5, the Bible says there was a place, a pool by Bethesda, where many sick people were.
And there was a man there who thought that God had forgotten him. There was a man there who thought that the Lord had forsaken him. The Bible says when they gathered at a certain time, there was a moving of the water. Verse number 3, John 5:3. He says, in this lay a great multitude of impotent folks and blind people, lame and paralyzed people. Let's all read the last line. Waiting for the moving of the water. Say after me, waiting
for the moving
of the water.
Of the water.
There are protocols in the realm of the spirit. There is a certain way to act when you enter into the palace. There is another way to act when you enter into the church. In the realm of the spirit, concerning the healing that took place in John 5, it could never happen without the moving of the water. Because until the angel comes and stirs it, nothing will happen. And Bible says that the people will wait daily. And they will look that the thing is changing. And anytime it happened, people got in faster than this particular man. One day, the Lord Jesus appeared there. When Jesus got there, everybody thought the protocol would be the same. I have news for you. The protocols will change on your behalf. No, the way things are done, when it gets to your turn, it will change. I said tonight, I came to encourage somebody. I am trying to say, when the Lord Jesus got there, everybody thought the water was going to move so that they will rush in and go. So when they saw Jesus talking to the man, they started running to the pool in a bit to step into it. But they did not know that because somebody had been hard pressed, because you had been forsaken, because you had been rejected, because you have gone through too many trials, the Lord Jesus decided that he would change the protocol just for you. Because if he had given the man that miracle in the pool that day, there were people standing by the pool who are going to cross him again, who are going to come before him again, and the same problem will continue for 39 years. The Lord Jesus knows that if you will conceive at the day of your ovulation, the time that you have to conceive, he knows the evil people in your background are waiting. So he will change the protocol for you. I am talking to people who have a higher level of expectancy. That a woman in this place will get pregnant outside of ovulation. Because God will not give you that miracle when they expect it. So when they were all expecting that this has to happen before it comes, God said that take the protocol. You take the protocol. He called that man to himself and said to him, come, do you want to be made whole? He said, oh, the water is not moved yet. The angel has not come yet. And even if he has come, the people will interfere. The Lord Jesus said to him, the protocols I want to change for you, the things I want to change for you. So when they were waiting for the stirring, the man was crawling on all fours to Jesus. And as he was coming to Jesus, the Lord Jesus said to him, ignore the days of old. Ignore the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing with you. Take up your mattress and go home. I want you to speak to somebody here that you have not been forgotten. The protocol should change for you. I want to speak to somebody here that you are not forsaken. God is working out a plan for you. You are about to get married when they did not realize it. You are about to enter into unemployment without application. You are waiting for the protocol.
Hallelujah.
The way it happened with your father, that is not the way it will happen with you. You are a better version of your
mother.
I say you are a better version. You are a better version. Shout, I hear you.
I hear you.
Shout, I hear you.
I hear you.
The protocols will change for you.
I
said it will change for you. You need to look forward to new things. The new things of God are not refurbished things. They are not renewed things. Any new thing of God has never been seen before. He will change the protocol just for you. They said that things should take 10 years before it happens. When it gets to your turn, it will not take 10 years. It will not take 5 years. It will just take 1 month. Because the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. But it is God that showed mercy to us. Can I prophesy to 1,000 people listening to it? That anybody who feels forgotten, anybody who feels forsaken, God is about to visit you. The protocol should change. He will not let you see shame. The protocol must change. In John's Gospel, chapter number 2, Jesus had been invited to a wedding. They said the wine is finished. I said the protocols are changing for me. Do you know how long it takes them to process wine? Even pito, even palm wine, the way it will take you time before you can get it. Let alone some even non-alcoholic red grapes. And then Mary came to Jesus. And said, "Oh God, the people are being disgraced. Oh, I want to tell you, society may not look at you well. Because people like to put people in classes. There are classes. People like to do classes. But God is about to do something. And when God finishes, when God finishes with you, people will be very surprised. I said people will be very surprised. He said their wine is finished. He said my time is not yet up." Another spiritual protocol. There are times and seasons destined by God for anything. So even Jesus is saying that there is a time for me to work miracles. And that time is not yet up. And then Mary kept looking at the face. Are you going to forget these people? Are you going to hold on to this principle and let them see shame? All of a sudden we see that the prophet Jesus is shaking in his chair. And his hand is shaking. And then he says, "I can't take this anymore. Fill the barrels with water." Now listen to something. He says, "Fill the barrels with water." But it was wine that was finished. They didn't have sugar. They didn't do any fermentation process for them to get the wine. So the precipitants for the miracle, the substrate, the substances that you needed to make wine were not available. Yet still, the miracle of wine happened. So there was no fermentation. They didn't do any distilling. They didn't do any mixing. They didn't look for sugar. They didn't look for grapes. All they had was just water. And Jesus. All they had was water. And Jesus. The things that you need to get the miracle may not be there. But yes, still, I prophesy to you that the miracle will take place because Jesus is there. And the person that Jesus joins with ceases to be a commoner, you become a royal. It's Jesus. But I have news for you, young girl, young boy. You failed your exams. I have news for you. That don't worry. The things you need for the miracle may not be there. Yes, still the miracle will take place. In the name of Jesus. In the book of 2 Kings chapter number 3. 2 Kings chapter 3. verse 9, 10 downwards, the Bible says that the king and the people of Israel had gone around 7 days without water. 7 days. No water.
You
were about to die. 7 days without water. It's not food, water. Now they were walking like that. And then they said, is that not a man of God? Who can help us? It gets to a certain time, it is not certificate. It is not money. You realize that you need an anointing. Today I came as an anointing to help bring that thing to pass. So he said that, bring me a minstrel.
Okay.
Bring me a singer. So the prophet Elisha came like I have come into this sanctuary. And I'm saying that play the strings for me. And lift up the volume of the strings now. Because this thing that you are suffering, that saith the Lord. You may not have the things you need for the miracle. But by the time I'm out of this place, if the Lord be God, that miracle shall take place. I saw a miracle drop into somebody's body right now. Elisha said to them, dig holes. Dig a lot of holes. The little strength they had, they started to dig. And they wished they had dig more. And they could have dug a little bit further. But they could not. Because they were tired. I'm here talking to you. Your strength may be little. You are maybe exhausted. But in this convention, I want you to push a little bit more. Because the miracle will come. It will come. I said it will come. Dig. Dig. Verse number 15, I believe, or 17, he said, for you will not see wind. You will not see rain, but this valley shall be filled with water. The requirements you need for the miracle will not be there, but the miracle will take place. And the requirements you need to get that miracle, it's not there. You shall not see wind. You shall not see rain. But the things that happen when wind and rain are available will take place. I prophesy to somebody. That saith the Lord. You will not see wind. You will not see rain. But that valley you have dug, that hole you dug, it shall be filled with water. Immediately, they saw that the things they dug were filling with water. And they said, oh, how we wish we would have dug deeper. I'm speaking to somebody here who is believing God for a miracle. That on this miracle night, anything that you desire, it shall be granted to you. For 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 7, he says that, for there is no restraint with God to deliver with few or with many. All you may have will just be one certificate. All you may have may just be one little thing. But because there is no difficulty with God, He will give you the miracle. So a certain woman, husband had died, and then they were about to take her sons away because she was in debt. I prophesy, may debts be canceled. In the name of Jesus. I see people in this place that you feel rejected. You feel forsaken. Because the things going around in your life are difficult. That is why I'm telling you this message. The woman said, they are coming for my children. What do you have? He said, it's just a little oil. I came here for people who have nothing. I care for people who have little. You have.
No, you're fair.
Some of you, it's just you. After you, there is nothing. I came here for those people. Because then the prophet said, go and borrow. A lot of empty vessels. Today, it will be the last day you borrow. I prophesy. I prophesy to you that today will be the last day that you borrow. When they gathered the gallows, she didn't take a lot.
She,
like the people, they didn't dig too deep. So the moment they started pouring, because before you can get oil, the processes you will go through, that you have to press the things to get oil out. So her mind is thinking, how is this oil going to come about? So she only borrowed just a little. But the moment she started pouring, then she realized that the oil, the little she had, was not running out. So she said, bring the next bottle. Bring another bottle. Bring another bottle. Bring another bottle. Bring the last bottle. They said the bottles are finished. Then the oil stopped. Your miracle will respond to the voice of your expectation. Your miracle will end at the threshold of your expectation. It's alright. Dare to dream. Dare to believe. Don't borrow a few. Your place is reserved with God. Nobody can take it. Nobody can take it from you. You are not forgotten. You are not forsaken. I say you are not forgotten. And you cannot be forsaken. One day in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, a certain donkey arrived in town. And when he got there, he was part of a group of donkeys. And he realized that every other donkey was being sent on a trip. They were carrying things. They were carrying people. But as for this particular donkey, nobody wanted him. Nobody wanted to ride on him. Nobody wanted to sit on him. Jesus Christ,
Jesus Christ,
one day was looking for a donkey to sit on. I came here for somebody who has been ignored. I came here for somebody who has been forgotten. I came here for somebody who has been forsaken. If the King of Kings wanted a donkey to sit on the inauguration of his presidency, I thought they would be looking for experienced donkeys. I thought they would be looking for experienced animals. Yet Jesus Christ said, my heart is for the ignored. My heart is for the forsaken. Enter into that city. You will find a donkey that no man has ever sat on. Go and bring me that donkey. I prophesy to 5,000 people today that even if men had never had interest in you, after this convention, God will send people to you. Anytime, donkeys were passing by, they were just bluffing this donkey.
I mean, your
classmates are all married. Some of your classmates are even becoming grandchildren, grandparents. Your marriage seems not to come. Your business seems not to work. Every day the donkey is tied there. People are just walking past him. But there was something happening in the mind of this donkey that I want it to happen in your mind before I go. He knew that come what may, God will never forget him. And so Though he was restricted to a pole, yet he was free in his mind. Though he was restricted to a pole, he was dreaming inside his mind. And then he was prophesying. He was saying things like, I am going to carry not an ordinary person. I will carry a king. I may be bound physically, but I am free mentally. They are passing by me every day, but I know that God has not forgotten me, and God has not forsaken me. So when the day came, and your day is today, that anything that has tied you, it has not tied your mind. It has not tied your dream. It has not tied your faith. And even though they may bind you in a little room, I want you to dream big. I want you to break through. You may be physically tied up, but mentally be liberated. You may be bound physically, but I want you to be free emotionally. I want to prophesy to a couple who are believing God for a child, that begin to rehearse. Begin to rehearse how you be a mother. Begin to rehearse how you be a father. Begin to rehearse it. Begin to rehearse it. Because the donkey was tied. But even though they tied it, he was rehearsing how it will walk. He was rehearsing how it will not fall. Because he knew that the day will come when that rope will be released. Every chain that is binding you, tonight it shall loose. One day, when they were looking for professional donkeys, the man said, I don't need a professional donkey. I want the one who has been ignored. And when they picked him, every other donkey said he will fall because he has never carried anything before. And this time, he was carrying the prince and not walking on bare ground but on silky clothes. The moment they put the cloth in front of the donkey, the other donkeys started laughing. And they said, he will fall down. He will fall down. Because none of us has walked on cloth before. How did that donkey, who had never carried a man before, know how to carry a king majestically and know how to walk on a silky cloth? Your enemies are about to laugh, but you are about to surprise them, because they walked on the silky cloth. One, two, and he never fell. What I'm trying to say, you may be a house girl somewhere. You may be washing cars somewhere. But begin to rehearse the expectation. You see, the doctor said you can't have child. I want you to rehearse being pregnant. This is how I will walk. You don't even have a bicycle. I want you to rehearse how you sit in your car. Because the expectation of the righteous, it shall never be cut short. He shall say unto the righteous, it shall be well with them. I came here to prophesy to somebody that they might have tied you down, but they are not able to predict your end. He says, for we are hard pressed on every side. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. We are persecuted, but we are not forgotten. I came here to speak to somebody that anything that has held you in the sight Anything that has held you in the background is about to give way on this first day. Anything that is holding you bound, anything that is holding you bound, anything that is holding you bound shall give way now. It 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 shall give way now. Say, I'm not forgotten. Say, I'm not forsaken. I want you to know that he will never forsake you.